Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
To stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Wells.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome back. It's Hour 3. ITL, it's In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Hope you're listening live over on iHeartRadio or the FNTSY app. If you're podcasting it, what's up? But don't forget to leave us a review, tweet at us, and make sure that you are catching all of the ITL podcast content. Man, it is unbelievable. Anytime I think back, all the stuff that is going on, even in the, quote, off time that we do, never truly is, but we are very happy to do it. We're very happy to have the very, very wonderful support. We've got some hardcore fans. We may not have all the fans, but the ones that we do have,
best,
very
ones.
Very hardcore. Like, we got some good guys that are in support of us. I love when people jump in, you go along with the bits. You guys rock, and we absolutely love hearing from you. We really do. So we're gonna get into week 12 here, but I just want to ask you real quick. I don't want to go off in a crazy tangent like we can do about this, but probably the biggest thing that happened on Thanksgiving was not Drew Brees throwing to all the players we've never heard of, was not Chase Daniels doing what he did. It wasn't the Cowboys winning with more Salvation Army buckets of players going into. It wasn't the food. It wasn't Thanksgiving holiday or parades. It was clearly the live action Lion King trailer that went down. The internet exploded when it, did you see the trailer, Bogman?
You know, I saw it, and by the way, you just couldn't disrespect Chase Daniel anymore, because you just always throw an S on his name.
Chase Daniels.
Chase Daniel.
Yeah.
He's got two first names.
Adam Thielen.
Yeah. Bring back that summer Thielen.
When did we do that? Was that on the football podcast?
That was on the ITL football podcast.
Because I called him Autumn Thielen, and then we went into, like, well, it's summer Thielen. And then, yeah, that's very good. We took us a long way to get there, Thielen. But it was so good.
What were we talking about?
The trailer for Lion King.
Oh, Lion King, yeah. Yeah, it looked good.
We've been hearing about this.
I was...
loose use of the word live action, by the way. Live action CGI animation.
Right, like no actual real animals, so...
Yeah, there's like not one, not that they could, but like when you use the word live action, that typically means people, not CGI.
I know you just said we're not going to go on a tangent, but...
Uh-oh.
Have you ever heard of the movie called... It's just called Roar. It was about a family in Africa that had, they just lived with like 180 wild animals on their property. And they had like 70 lions, and there was a bunch of tigers. There were no bears, I don't think.
Right.
But there were just all these big cats around them all the time. They filmed it over 10 years.
It's your dream come true.
Yeah, all 70 cats. Oh, it'd be amazing. The smell would be horrific. They filmed it over 10 years. And
it's like real people.
It's a real thing.
Like real lions
not,
and stuff.
The movie's not real. Like, the movie's about a family, but they filmed it for 10 years, so they must have been there a long time.
Is that like
time.
That movie? What was that one they did? It's called like Boy or something that was filmed over 10 years. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
There's some movie that they filmed with Ethan Hawke. I'm forgetting what it is, but it was like they literally did it over 10 years, and it was following this kid. And it was, huh. Oh, God, I'm going to have to look at what it is. But, okay, so lions and tigers and whatever
over
10 years.
But so the trailer for it, and I guess it came out, it just absolutely bombed. They put it out in Europe first, and they didn't put it out in America. I don't even think it was in theaters. They didn't release it in the States until 2015, and it came out in Europe in, like, 1981.
By the way, so, my movie was called Boyhood. That's what it was. It was filmed over 12 years. So they filmed scenes every, I remember hearing a story about it. Every year they would get together for a couple weeks, they would film scenes in it, and he wrote this movie for to go over a 12 year time period, and they really did do it every year for 12 years, and then they released it.
I think like the ninth year, you're like, God, are we almost done with this crap?
Is this going to ever come out? When am I going to get paid? Yeah, and the worst thing is it's like an independent movie, too. It wasn't like some blockbuster like Avengers. It's like, you know, just some like artsy kind of independent movie they did over 12 years. So it's like, here's your, you know, $200 check for your year this year. It's like, all right, great.
But in the trailer of Roar, it says no animals were harmed in the making of this movie. But 70 crew members and actors were harmed during this movie.
What?
And Melanie Griffith was in this. She had to have like facial reconstruction surgery.
Holy
like
crap, all
these,
really?
Yeah, all these people had broken bones and horrible scratches and stuff from when the lions would get, you know, a little rowdy or whatever. Like, I think for the most part, the lions were either one establishing dominance, like, you don't matter to me, stop walking near me, or they were playing, like they enjoyed the people and they're playing, they got a little too rough, like I'll get scratched from my cats playing a little too rough with them, and they'll kind of let me know like, hey, that's enough, and they'll scratch me, you know. It's
so
not,
are you defending for a actual live action Lion King, or are you trying to say this is why we
not.
Can't
I don't think there's any way you could do that. I just like, I was thinking of like no real animals, so there were no animals could be hurt, because you always see that no animals were harmed in the
Do you see the cast of the new Lion King too?
No Who is it?
Donald Glover is gonna play Simba.
Okay.
Quincy Jones is back, I think, as Mufasa.
Nice.
Seth Rogen is whichever one's the pig. Boomba. Yeah, and Brett Eichner is the other one. Is the little one. That's what a cast.
What's that supposed to be again?
Like a meerkat?
Oh, a meerkat.
I think it's a meerkat and a wild boar or something like that. So I don't know. Everyone was blown up about it. All I saw Twitter talk about was the trailer. Then I watched it and I was like, that's pretty good. This looks pretty good. I'm in. I'm totally in. And as we know, Lev Bell was on it.
My kids, because my kids want to see it. Not because I want to see it.
No. Not at all. I totally didn't want to take my kid to go see Wreck-It Ralph or Ralph Wrecks the Internet because he wanted to see it. That's the only reason. Real quick before we get into week 12, the poll results, who is the most unlikable? I think we're starting to have an establishment here. Lev Bell, 25%. You know, he tweeted about the Lion Kings and he allowed people to say they're thankful for James Conner on his Twitter. So that's a little bit better. Kyrie Irving, I still think is just, you know, I mean, he hasn't done. This is the fairness I guess I would give. He hasn't done something like Manny Machado. You know, he hasn't done something like, and there's, by the way, other unlikable guys. You know, he's not doing stuff like Vontaze Burfict or anything like that. I think it's just an overall demand. He doesn't even do like, you know, Draymond Green kicking guys in the nuts and stuff. But like Kyrie Irving just overall is a salty person, doesn't like anything, seems like the worst time. I just don't like him. 32%.
He's just like a contrarian.
Totally. Totally. Like, you got to complain about. Like, you got to complain about everything. Contrarian to everything. Right. Yeah, you know, you're totally right about that. And
like,
then,
hey, are you gonna have a long career? No.
Right, no.
You like Thanksgiving? No.
No.
Well, is the Earth round? No. Okay. Where can I stop?
Yeah.
You know,
is a hot dog a sandwich? No. I mean, all that type of stuff. But the most unlikable, still, we're just proving points here, Manny Machado. He's just always going to be the most unlikable. 43%. That's where the voting is at, because we'll probably forget to do it towards the end of the show. But I know we just gave how horrible we were last week, but was there something you wanted? Did you want to kind of break down just how ridiculous
angry
it
about
was?
I'm angry about how bad it was, because I'm watching the games on Sunday going, I got nothing right. I thought for a second there, I thought I was like, I don't know that I got a thing right. Because the morning games, you know, I picked, I'll just go over our picks real quick. Dallas at Atlanta. I had Dallas and the over. You had Atlanta and the over, and you got Atlanta. We both lost on the over. We both picked Carolina in the over on Carolina Detroit. Obviously, they lost by a point and it was low scoring. So L's all across for everybody, the Welsh. Tennessee at Indianapolis. I screwed up here. One of us had to get this right. You get an extra win, the Welsh, because I'm dumb.
Hey, look at me.
Look at that.
All wins right there. I got the win and you said you're dumb. This is great.
Yeah. So it's because I was like, well, I thought we both picked Tennessee, but you took Indianapolis. So loss, win, loss. And then Tampa Bay and the Giants, we both hit the over. But you got the win with the Giants, and I got the L for Tampa Bay because the Giants won that. Houston and Washington, We both said we both barely got the over on that. Thank God, because it was 43 total and the over was 42.5. And we both said Houston because we're losers. Jacksonville in the over. We got Jacksonville, both losers. This one was the only one I think I got right and you got wrong. Maybe one other one. Baltimore and Cincinnati. I picked Baltimore with Lamar Jackson. You were being a dick to be contrarian to me. So you said Cincinnati, not because you wanted it, just because you wanted me to be wrong. So you got the L there. Arizona in the under, LOL, because the Raiders won. The Clippers in the over, LOL. They lost to the Broncos. Philly and New Orleans, you did pick Philly, but we both got the under on that one. Minnesota and Chicago, we both got the over, but you had Chicago. And we both, the Welsh, you and I, picked the under on the Monday night football game, the third highest scoring game in NFL history. And the Rams won by 3 points, and we both picked them, and the spread was 3.5.
Okay, so there's a lot, like Bogman and I, dude, you and I, we're not afraid to be wrong. We love to laugh at the industry of how many people just they ride everything they have on being right. You know, a lot of people will have like paid programs about it. You know, there's big rankers that their life exists around it. You know, you can't tell them otherwise. We know people that if you try to call them out on clear wrongs, they'll spin it into why they were right. There's all that type of stuff. Everyone loves to do a victory lap about every single thing they're ever right about. As soon as they're right about one thing, they got to tweet a whole big 280 character thing about it. Everyone is.
By the way, nobody hit me up on my Eddie Jackson call. By the way,
well, it's ridiculous. If you didn't tweet about it, Bogman. If it's like voting, if you didn't get the sticker, you didn't vote. If you didn't tweet about it, it didn't happen. Now, everyone is so self-indulgent about themselves, which I'm not saying that we're not victims of that. We totally do stuff all the time. We'll laugh at ourselves. We will sit here and point and laugh about things. I will tell you honestly. It's that us picking the under on that game.
That's embarrassing.
It's one of the most embarrassing things we've done in years, to the point I actually didn't even want to talk about it. How laughable it was. It was hit in the third quarter. Everybody on Twitter's like, can you imagine these people that took the under? And I was like, yeah, I can. You
what a bunch God. Of losers.
What an idiot.
Yeah, but that was the highest over in the history of football. That was the highest over ever.
It was over 100 points scored.
Yeah, and it was 63.5.
It's unbelievable.
I thought this was going to be a blowout win for the Rams, to be honest with you.
Well, I thought there was going to be some points scored, but I thought there would be some defense played.
35-21, which puts you at 56 points. That's a high over.
Yeah, I think I even said, I saw, because wasn't it 63.5?
Yeah, 63.5.
Yeah, right? I wasn't like a 30-33 type of thing, 27-30, somewhere in there. I thought some defense would be played. We'd actually have a few, one or two, three and out type of things. But no, it was just boom, 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 touch it, touch it, touch it. It was incredible. So amongst
it,
all
it
that stuff.
It looked like a Big 12 game is what a lot of people said. The Big 12 hasn't had a game that high scoring.
It's wild, too, because, I'll sit and look and I'll be like, God dang, man, I had all these Corey Clement shares. And, we all have it. And it's laughable how people don't, because I think we learn from the stuff that we got wrong, and you have to sprinkle in, and it's kind of that defense mechanism. If you're willing to be the person that'll talk about the wrongs, I think you're more than justified to talk about the rights, and that's stuff that we like to do. And I think about my Corey Clement stuff, but that doesn't keep me up at night. That one, I was just like, oh my God, no one clearly listens to our show to razz us about that one. Thank God. Or everyone is just respectful about it. But that was embarrassing how much they scored, and the thought of it. But this is also why we're not a gambling show. We're not a gambling show.
What's more embarrassing, though? Us picking the under, or those defenses both giving up 50 points on Monday Night Football?
How did the defensive how does the winning team go into the locker room and the defense is not just chastised? I know you won a game. You gave up 50 points.
I think the Rams scored two defensive touchdowns.
That's wild. How does anyone feel good about that game? I mean, there is sometimes you just have to tip your hat and realize, all right, man, these guys are unstoppable. And at the end of the day, it's going to be one of those things, did everybody do their best. You know, were coverages hit? Were blocks being made? You know, did we avoid injury? You're going to walk away and they're going to find positives out of it. And sometimes, like, I remember Jared Goff was interviewed after and they were trying to ask him and he was just like, I don't know, man. He's like, that was wild. He's like, I've never even been a part of anything like that. And that's just what happens.
And
in
he played
like
in the Pac-12.
Yeah. So. Yeah, exactly. He should be aware of it. So that's taking a look at all of it. And it was a bad overall gambling week. And then we obviously made that decision there. So let's get to some of the actual games, shall we, for this week?
Yeah, let's go.
All right. First up, we have got the Jaguars visiting the Bills in the most unwatchable game this week, for sure, right?
Why isn't this one in London, by the way?
Why is this one happening at all? This is one of those ones you could finally get away with not televising. You know what I mean?
Cancel it. I'm sorry.
Save some money. Don't even put cameras there. It's not a big deal. But the Bills 3-7 at the Jags at the Bills. Both teams 3-7. The Jaguars are favored by 3. The over under is 37 in a row. Blake Bortles having the season, dude. The biggest rusher in this game across both teams is LeSean McCoy, 380 yards and 2 touchdowns. But clearly, we know that Leonard Fournette is back. I actually like Fournette in this matchup. I know you like the Bills defense a bit, but I think Leonard Fournette and the workload that he's getting, he should be able to eat very, very well, just like Thanksgiving here. So, what do you think about Jags and Bills?
It is Jacksonville by 3 or 3.5.
3.
Oh man. Yeah, Josh Allen is back. Like that makes I don't like the hook. So I think I want to take Buffalo, but I wanted to take Buffalo with 3.5. I think you have to say the over on a 37-point game in the NFL in 2018, don't you?
Yeah.
Even though it's Jacksonville and Buffalo.
Just how you said that, you're like, in 2018 we have to say the over. That's what's legally. There's things we can't say, and we have to take the over.
It's like the under goes on that list of things we're not allowed to say anymore.
Yeah, there's words we can't say, and we have to take an over at 37.
Oh man, I'm gonna take Jacksonville. Ugh. The offense was so pitiful. I'm gonna take the under. I'm trying to rationalize taking the over. Where are the points gonna come
from? Didn't you just set this up that this has to be the over?
Well, okay. I feel like it has to. I think when I look at a 37 in a row over under, I sit there and I go, well, that has to be over. Like 37 points in the NFL doesn't happen anymore. But then I start logistically thinking of where the points are going to come.
No, it's a good question. Well, here, we'll talk about it a little bit more and the rest of the games coming up on the other side of the break. So let's kick that. And we got two more coming for you. It's Bogner Welsh. It's In This League.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
It's In This League.
Buckle up, buckaroo.
All night.
We're back. It's In This League on Twitter. Is it the Welsh and Bogman Sports? That's where you can tweet at us all of your craziness, your insanity, your takes. We love takes. And you can we'll always use those sometimes on the podcast or the other ITL sports that we do. The baseball, the basketball, and the football. Uka's Bogman. December will be a month where all three podcasts air. Because remember, a couple baseball coming back. Let's get excited.
Yep. Everything's going. I'll have a bowl one for college football as well. Ooh. So everything is going all at the same time.
Oh yeah, what's going down? What's going down with the? Because the college season ends this like today, right?
Yeah. It'll be over at the end of the night for the regular season. But we always try to get either a bowl pick'em group, or sometimes we'll be able to get. I don't know if I'll have to set it up if I have time, but someone who usually set up like a bowl salary cap game. So you can pick all the players, but they each have it's almost like DFS, but for all the bowl games.
I like the bowl pick 'em. We got to do a little ITL bowl pick 'em this year.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll get it together. Yeah.
A little $5 or something? A little less? Yeah, a little of that? All right, let's do that.
A little something.
All right, well, I can be on the lookout for that. And then you guys will have, what, like a bowl podcast, like a bowl preview podcast?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, you want to get in that bowl pick 'em group because we're so bad at picking games.
Yeah. ITL Army, patreon.com/ITL Army. It will pay for itself. It has the opportunities to pay for itself, my friends. You're given to us, and you will get back with. I mean, you say that, though, and Boggs is sitting over here, championship game of both of his college fantasy football leagues this year.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I got to wait till the end of the night to see if I pull him out. So
what's your confidence level?
Confidence is high. Repeat. Confidence is high.
On both?
On one.
Oh, really? What's the other one? Like, really?
The other one is where I started the guy that did wind up playing.
Yeah, so but that guy had McKenzie Milton. Who has one leg, literally, now.
Well, that's true. In my other league, I had a big quarterback day, but then my other quarterback put me up like 11. So we'll see. It's a college fantasy football. You go two QBs because there's so many.
Sure to do your victory lap. Everyone loves that.
Oh, yeah. If I win one, trust me, they'll know because it'll be my first college championship.
All right. Well, good. Good deal. All right. Let's kick back into it. We're taking a look at all of the Week 12 games here. We only did one of them in the last segment. So Jags and Bills.
I didn't even get your pick.
Oh, we didn't. Yeah, because it's such a bad game.
And by the way, real quick, just so everybody knows, the Jaguars are averaging 17 points a game. 17.6.
Yeah.
So it's rounded up to 18.
I feel like you're going to say the Bills are averaging like 10.
13.7.
Oh, my God, dude.
So the average of these teams gets you up to 32 points when we're rounding up.
Okay. I don't hate your underpick.
Like Jacksonville 21-7 in this game.
I don't hate your underpick, but to what you said before, as a not smart gambling person, I just can't be the guy that bets the under on this game. Even though both teams suck and are bad, I just can't do it. So I'm going to take the over, but I am going to take Jacksonville. I would never take the Bills on anything. Ever. Even though they won three games, I'll lose money on those because I will never take the Bills.
And Josh Allen is back. I just like... The offense has to get more creative in Jacksonville or like everyone's getting fired. Yeah, it's so bad there. Yeah. I can't believe they lost to Pittsburgh. And it was because they're going three and out. And you can even watch. You can go back and watch. Blake Bortles is walking off the field after third down before the play is over. He's walking towards the sideline. He knows it's not going to get the first down because the play call was so bad.
How embarrassing is that?
It's embarrassing. And they were winning at that point.
That's so ridiculously embarrassing. Cool. All right, next game up here. This is, oh, Bogman, this is the game you just like, please let these two play and then never return again. It is the Cleveland Browns visiting the Cincinnati Bengals. The 3-6-1 Browns versus the 5-5 Bengals. The Bengals are a 3-point favorite at home. The over-under is 46.5. Andy Dalton's got 20 touchdowns on the season. Joe Mixon's been banged up, but he has still put up just under 600 rushing yards with 5 touchdowns. And check this out. Tyler Boyd, your leading receiver for the Bengals, at least yards from a yards perspective, 756 on 56 catches, 5 touchdowns. And it's looking like A.J. Green is a no-go. He was non-committal and not wanting to get into anything on Friday. So it's starting to look like he's not going to go. So it's going to be more Tyler Boyd.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to take Cleveland. If there's not, can I like reserve the right to change my bet?
No.
Because if AJ Green plays, I think I have to go Cincinnati.
You got to pick.
All right. Just one.
You get one.
Cleveland in the under.
Oh, you're going to be the under guy this week, aren't you?
I just.
Underpants bog.
Cincinnati's defense is not good. So I know Cleveland's going to put up points, but how. Is Cincinnati going to put up points? They looked pathetic last week without A.J. Green.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree. Everyone was able to hone in on the offense, but I mean, I feel like every week we're always talking about like, listen, the Browns, underrated team. Their defense is under. Yeah. But I still think the Browns, they have these moments where they're very brownish and they show us.
Well, this is where they're overrated. You know, they're overrated when you pick them against the spread and you're getting points and they don't even do it for you against Cincinnati with no A.J. Green. That's where you know, OK, Cleveland sucks again and they're going to be better. This ain't the year.
Agreed. Agreed. But I'm going to go with Cincinnati on this. I'm going to take Cincinnati. I also don't like the over on this one, though. So I'm going to go with the under. There are some points to be scored, but this is one of those like 20-20, you know, like 24-20 type of games. I was about to say 23-20, but then that would, I guess that'd be a push. But I'm going to go with Cincinnati.
You said it's 43?
46 and a half.
Oh, well, 23-20 would be an under.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know why I was thinking 43.
You're absolutely right about that.
All right, so I can keep my 24-20. That's what I'm wanting.
Okay.
I was thinking of the line, the three-point line. So
I got you. I got you.
The Steph Curry line. So I'm going to go with Cincinnati over the Browns. All right. Jets and the Patriots. The Patriots 7-3. The Jets 3-7. The New England Patriots are favored by 10. The over-under is 47.5. Tom Brady is... How questionable is he really?
He didn't practice Friday, and he didn't practice Thursday.
But he also doesn't need to practice.
He's also Brady. So
I think Brady is going to go.
I do, too. Here's my one argument to why Tom Brady may not play in this game.
The Jets.
They're playing the Jets.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
They don't really need Tom Brady to play this game. I tell you what it really is. It's a dangerous week to start Tom Brady in fantasy because if they get up 24-0, what's going to stop them from benching Brady and going, yeah, we're just stomping this team. This is no good.
Yeah, I mean, that's a decent point. But also, take some of the injury stuff. This is why I think Sony Michel and James White are going to be the guys this week. Whether it's handoff or short passes, you keep Brady out of, you know, any, you know, big hit type of stuff. You're still going to control, you're going to be able to control the ball with your short screen passes and just constant James White and Sony Michel stuff. This is why I think these guys are going to be the big plays for the Patriots this week. I don't like the line, though. I really don't like the line.
You don't like the line?
I just don't want the double digits when they're, I mean, Gronk with the questionability, Tom Brady, if they are taking the foot off the gas a little bit, but.
I get beat by these double digit lines all the time because I don't know why. I think this line could be 20 and I'd still take it.
I'm going to go with the Patriots as well. Are you going over or under? Because I'm going to lean.
God, I don't want to take under again, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it because, and look, we're through most of the most pathetic offenses in the NFL at this point. When we got Jacksonville and Buffalo and the Giants out of the way in the first three games that we've talked about here, I just don't know where the points come for the Jets. I mean, this is like, you know, you convinced me to start the Patriots in my FanDuel lineup here.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to pay off. So Josh McCown didn't look good last week. They still got banged up wide receivers. I think this just has to be. It has to be in New England in an under game because I could see this game easily being like 35-3, 35-7. You know?
So we're both taking the Patriots and the under?
Even if it's 35-10, that's under.
It's true.
So, yeah, I'm taking the under. It's kind of easy, too.
We're both doing it. The Eagles and Giants, good division rivalry game here. The Eagles are 4-6. The Giants are 3-7. The Eagles are definitely going to need this win as the Cowboys are kind of moving away with that division. Philly is favored by 6. The over-under is 47. Eli Manning is just about 200 yards short of a 3,000-yard season, but only 13 touchdowns. Saquon Barkley, 728 yards and 7 touchdowns. And Odell Beckham has 69 catches on the season, Bogman.
Nice.
About 70 yards away from a 1,000-yard season he's about to pull down. So a couple little arbitrary benchmarkers for the Giants. But we have got... I don't know if you want to call it a full go for Josh Adams, but it sure seems like it. It seems like this team is committed to seeing what they have in Josh Adams to a much higher degree of the rest of the guys. But the problem was even like they're still not running the ball enough. They just don't consistently do it. So it's fine if Josh Adams is the main guy, but it's not fine if he's only getting 7 carries a game.
This is going to be a New York Giants win straight up.
Okay.
Is there, I know you're waiting for me to explain, but I was waiting for the shock face, but obviously we're not getting it. Or would you be surprised by a Giants just flat out win?
No, I would not be surprised.
Everyone is hurt in the secondary for Philly.
Yeah.
All the players are hurt. They're all going down. So I think that, you know, we saw Eli Manning go 17-18 last week. Now that was against Tampa Bay. I understand Tampa Bay is like historically bad, but you're down to four string dudes in Philly. So I know the defensive line is still
outside
really
of their
good.
Wideouts. Their wideouts are, in theory, you should be like, Jesus, you got Aguilar and Tate and Jeffrey with Zach Ertz. I mean, those guys are game changers, but it's just still, it's kind of piecemealed. I don't like, I'm going to take the Giants with the line, but straight out, I'm not comfortable with taking straight up.
Yeah, I would try not to bet it unless the, I don't know what the plus minus on that is. If I'm getting it like triple or quadruple my return, then yeah, I might bet it straight up. But I think that the Giants could win this game. And I think I'm got to go with the over in this one because there is no defense for Philly. And the Giants defense has been bad all year. We just saw them lose or win a game 38-35, the Giants. So I'm going to take the Giants and the over on this one. This is why I have OBJ in all my lineups. Like he, to me, he's the big buy of the week is Odell Beckham Jr. because he's going up against, you know, probably third, fourth string guys in the secondary. So he should make mincemeat of them. It's just Eli has to be able to get the ball to him. And I'm going to bank on that. And I know that's dangerous waters to go into, banking on Eli to come through for you, right?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to take the same line here. Here's the only other thing I want to get with on this game. How trustable is Golden Tate at this point?
He's not. I got to start him in a 16 man league, but I'm trying not to start him. I'm like looking on the wire and at other guys that I have as options. Like I'm trying not to mess with Golden Tate because even the offensive coordinator for Philly came out this week and said, yeah, it's hard to get him lined up and know what to do with him. What the hell is that? That's the worst.
I don't get it at all. I mean, like I think we talked about this on the football show.
Why don't you just watch what every other team did with Golden Tate and go, hey, I'll do that because it works.
He's not trustable to me until he does it, if that makes sense. So I'm just not starting.
No, that makes total sense.
He will not be in my starting lineup until he has a big game. Sure, I'll be pissed and I'll be like, ah, look, Golden Tate on my bench with his, you know, 100 yards and a touchdown game he had. It's not worth it right now because them openly coming out and just not knowing how to make this work, that does not make me feel good. Plus, there are a lot of weapons.
Why are you
going to
trade for a guy and not know how to use him? How are you going to get fired on your day off?
Well, they did that with Jay Ajayi Bogman. They traded for Jay Ajayi year before, and they didn't know how to use him.
They couldn't make his back better. So
they just are acquiring guys. That's all they're doing. They're just picking up guys, and they're like, all right, let's see how we can make this work. And they
like
don't know
a fantasy team.
Yeah, exactly right. All right, let's get at least one more here before we go to break. My San Francisco 2-8 49ers going to the Bucs, who are 3-8. Tampa is a 3-point home favorite. The over-under is 54 here. Let's get some points scored. That's why I like Nick Mullins this week, guys. Ryan Fitzpatrick, 2,300 yards on the season, which is pretty impressive if you think what he did, you know, in the amount of time he had. And then Jameis Winston. Like, what are Winston's stats right now? Because I want to see something if it was possible.
Famous Jameis, crab stolen zero. Because he got caught. I wouldn't know. How many crabs do you think he stole before that? That's the question.
The crabs that no one knows about.
All the crabs that no one knows about until later.
Those are the worst kind of crabs. 1,300 yards. So I guess what I was hoping is like, man, is there a possibility that like Winston can get to 3,000 passing yards and then get
touchdowns and 11 picks?
Oh, it's awesome. And then like Fitzpatrick could get to. What's amazing is this team is going to have two quarterbacks that have thrown for over 2,300 yards if Winston finishes out the year, because Fitzpatrick is around 2,300. Winston's around 1,300 right now. The touchdown to interception ratio is awesome. Dirk Cutter should have a new home next year because they're not going to do it. They haven't done it yet. They're not going to do it right now. But Matt Breida, he's your leading rusher across the board here. 632 yards and only 113 carries, a couple touchdowns. Mike Evans is about 43 yards short of a 1,000-yard season, only on 56 catches. And you know how Winston loves Mike Evans. So there is some good fantasy stuff to be had in this game. Where do you sit here with the over-under 54 and Tampa favored by 3?
Well, I don't understand how Tampa Bay is favored in basically anything. So I'm going to take the Niners in this game. If you give me someone against them and getting points, I'm usually going to take. You know, I made the mistake of taking Tampa Bay last week. That's not going to happen again. So let's go with San Francisco. And I think I got to go with the over in this game just because Tampa Bay can't stop anything and they can score. The offense is decent regardless of what quarterback is out there. It's just we want less mistakes on offense. Fitzpatrick making mistakes, Winston making mistakes. The offense moves. The chains move. Even that game where they had three points, they have 496 yards. So the yards are there. The points should be there. So I'm definitely going with the over, but I'm going to take anyone against Tampa Bay at this point. They can't stop a damn thing. And like, are Marquise Goodwin and Kendrick Bourne, are they sneaky options this week because they're going up against Tampa Bay?
I don't know, man. I think it's impossible. I know you don't to like trust them. It's just you can't trust any single one of them. George Kittle is the only person you can trust week in and week out. You know, just jinx that, knock on wood. But it's like Goodwin isn't trustable. Garcon's always hurt. Sometimes it's Kendrick Bourne. Breida will come through. They'll get some mouse fart off of the wide. You know, like they just do weird things overall. To me, this is Breida and Kendall or Kittle. I don't fully trust any of the other guys. Maybe if you had a desperate league. I mean, Bourne almost seems more trustable right now than Marquise Goodwin, which is wild with how this team
runs. He's getting
more
snaps. Yeah. At least the last 2 weeks, I think he's had more snaps.
I'm going to go with you and take the over, and I'm going to go with the 49ers as well. So we're both going to go 49ers and the over on this one. Don't go anywhere, because when we come back, we're going to finish up these, quote, morning games, and we're going to get to the afternoon ones into Sunday night and Monday night football. Some more Week 12 breakdown with Bogman and the Welsh coming up on In This League. In the final segment, don't go anywhere.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
In This League.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends
in This League.
In the dark.
Welcome back. It is the final segment of In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, the 3-hour radio show that we do every Saturday right here on FNTSY. So go over to InThisLeague.com and find out how you can listen to. You can really listen to us every single day of the week if you chose to, across multiple sports and all the shows we do. Bogman and I are producing content almost every single day, and we're producing it over at Patreon.com/ITL Army. It's our true big fan base that you could be a part of. Have so much fun. We would deeply appreciate it. And as Bogman always says, this is our so now that Thanksgiving is over, it's Christmas time. It's our Christmas run up. Treat yourself with patreon.com/ITL Army.
You bought your wife stuff, you bought your kids stuff, more crap that they don't need, right? Why don't you get yourself something for Christmas? Why don't you come on over and join us at the Army?
It's great time. It's a great time. Let's get into the rest of these games here, and we will go to the Panthers. What are they? 6-4? This is the vision thing, Bogman. 6-4 against the 5-5 Seattle Seahawks. The Panthers are favored by 3.5. The over-under is 46.5. Tyler Lockett, 554 yards on the season with 7 touchdowns. Your boy, Christian McCaffrey, 632 yards. Very well on his way to having a 1,000-yard rushing season and a very successful receiving season, being everything that you expected. And Cam Newton just kind of solidifying himself as not only a consistent fantasy option, but he's been sneaky. He was a sneaky guy this year. He went later. He went after all the other dudes. You know, you had the Rodgers and the Bradys, and then all of a sudden the Deshaun Watsons and Russell Wilsons went. I'm not saying he's the biggest value, because Goff and Mahomes are just clearly the two biggest gets at the quarterback position this year. But Newton is in that same area to me with like Andrew Luck, where they were just really good values that you got super late. But I don't want to get into, I guess I don't want to go too far into this.
Who's going to be better in this game? Do you think Russell or Cam?
I think Cam.
I think Russell.
Really? You know, I don't want to get too far into this, but do you have a quick anecdotal thing here to say? You know how all we say is taking quarterbacks late is the strategy? With so many good quarterbacks late, do you think it still holds true? Now, follow me here
absolutely.
For a second. No, I know it does, but follow me here for a second. This year, the payoff of Goff and Mahomes is beyond return that we've seen in a while. All the other guys are relative. So, obviously, not taking Deshaun Watson in the fifth and taking Cam Newton in the eighth is a big payoff. But do you think
it makes it even like, I know what you're saying, but it makes it even more. Why would you spend early on a quarterback? Because the top quarterbacks aren't the top quarterbacks this year. Right.
Yeah. So, I guess what I'm saying, I'm trying to define like these top guys who you did get later than everybody else in Mahomes and Goff.
You're trying to do hashtag top tier players.
I'm trying to see, is it worth
a way
it?
To get a reason to take Aaron Rodgers in the fifth round again.
Well, not even Aaron Rodgers.
No reason to do it.
But I'm saying, is there a definitive to say that so many quarterbacks now, their value is relative. The stream has been better, except for the one or two elite options who are essentially Mahomes at this point.
Dude, we just started Nick Mullins against Tampa Bay because Tampa Bay's defense is so bad. That is where quarterback is at. So why would you do anything but take a quarterback late? I think you like Aaron Rodgers more than Gabe from the State Farm commercials likes Aaron Rodgers.
I like Aaron Rodgers as much as Joe Pisapia hates him.
Joe Pisapia just hates him because people call him the GOAT when we all know Tom Brady is the actual GOAT.
Yeah. All right. So back to the Seahawks and the Panthers here. The two quarterbacks that are rocking on people's teams, Christian McCaffrey, your guy. Carolina's favored by 3.5. Over under is 46.5. What do you got?
Man, just Carolina seems like a sinking ship at this point. And maybe they can get it right against Seattle, but Seattle pulled off a nice win on Thursday night last week. They had the extra days to get back to prep for this one. I'm taking Seattle and 46.5. God, am I going to take another under?
Do it.
Under. Seattle on the under.
Do it. I'm going to take Carolina in the over. So do it.
You prick.
That's why. Well, I like Carolina. I like the home team in this one. I see what you're saying with Carolina, but I think Christian McCaffrey is going to be very difficult for the Seahawks to cover. And I just like Carolina a little bit better on with this road team in Seattle, even though I know they're driving. But I do think there's points that are going to be scored in this game. So
yeah, I could see it. I'm more confident about Seattle than I am the under, I'll say. But I'm not very confident about Seattle either. Like, this game is a tough one to pick.
I'd like to put some ducats on that over-under.
Okay.
On the over.
I'll go $5. Not anything major.
Oh, you want? I meant, like, actual just, like, pull up. If Arizona allowed us to do things, I'd like to put some ducats on that. Okay. But, I mean, we could do that. I'll do it.
Yeah, let's just go $5. That way we got some action on it. It'll make that game enjoyable.
Yeah, $5. You got under, I got over.
You're right.
Let's go. All right, next game up, the Oakland Raiders. This is the game you have to put money on to make it enjoyable. The Baltimore Ravens 5-5 against the 2-8 Oakland Raiders. Baltimore's favored by 10.5. The over-under is 42.5. Alex Collins, your leading rusher statistically, but he is surpassed by
Gus Bus.
And what the hell happened to John Brown? I mean, he's a leading receiver, but I feel like you haven't heard from him in 3 weeks.
Well, Lamar Jackson ran the ball 27 times last game.
Amazing.
Joe Flacco's been terrible on that run-up.
Do you think that Lamar Jackson this week could have more pass attempts than rush attempts?
Yes, I do.
You think that will happen?
I do. I do think that will happen because I think that Oakland is going to, you know, try to play up in the box to stop that Lamar Jackson rushing game, and he can pass. I know most people don't think that because we haven't seen it yet, but hopefully this is the game where we see him do all that passing. All
right. Over under, I'm setting at 15.5 rush attempts for Lamar.
I'll take the under.
Ooh, okay.
I think they get up big in this game, and it's a lot of handing off to whoever's back there.
I take the over on that.
Over on 15.5. We don't want to double another 5.
You want to do another 5?
Yeah, 15.5. So he has to hit 16 rushes for you to win that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. Let's go. Anything else on this game?
No, I just think that this is going to be a Baltimore stomping of Oakland. Now, I thought that last week with Arizona, and Arizona let me down, but Baltimore has a decent defense. I think what's going to happen is Baltimore gets up, and then Oakland starts throwing the ball and taking some shots. So I think there's going to be some points scored. So I think the over is a little bit low here. You said it's 42.5?
Yes.
So I'm going to take Baltimore with the points, and I'm going to take the over.
Don't like this. What did you say? You said Baltimore in the over?
Yeah, but I mean, I kind of wanted you to pick this one first, even though I just did it and ruined it. But because I seem to always take the team with the big spread going, there's no way they can choke against these losers. And then sometimes they do.
Yeah, I'm going to. You said Baltimore in the under?
Baltimore in the over.
I'm going to take over, Oakland in the over.
Oakland in the over? Okay.
Yeah, the 10.5 is what gets me here.
I just don't think I can respect myself when I look and I see Oakland and I'm picking them.
I appreciate
that. They're so bad.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that for sure. the Arizona Cardinals, who are 2-8, they're fighting for one of those top picks with the 49ers. Going to the LA Clippers, the Los Angeles Chargers, who are 7-3. Whew. The Chargers are a 12.5 point favorite. The over under is 44. Melvin Gordon Bogman may not go in this game, and that is our big news.
It's good. Let's get your Austin Eckler shares fired up,
Austin
boys.
Austin Eckler, if he is on the wire right now, it is your civic duty to go pick him up as a just-in-case.
Civic duty.
It is your civic duty, man. If he is, you have to.
I mean, he's going to get playing time whether Gordon goes or not because Gordon's playing banged
up. But I'm not looking to start him if Gordon is playing at all. If Gordon is active, I'm not playing Eckler.
But I think you can in a flex spot.
If you needed to. If you desperately needed to, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that desperate is the word.
I mean,
I just think because Melvin Gordon is banged up and questionable in this game, you don't think Eckler's going to get more than normal, if Gordon plays?
No, I think he will. I'm just saying that the difference of how I rank this player is astronomical. Is he a flex option if Gordon goes? Absolutely. He might get a little bit more run. He might pull out a solid game. You know, like it could be like the poor man's Melvin Gordon, Alvin Kamara type of stuff. But if Melvin Gordon doesn't go and it's all Austin Eckler season against this team, I'm all in. I mean, I think he's a borderline RB1.
Austin Eckler season. God, yeah. Why does everything have to be a season?
It's just season. He's borderline. He's like high RB2, where if Gordon plays, I think he's a middling RB3 type of a flexy guy.
So what are you taking here?
Let me get back to look at these. I am going
Running
to go.
Out of time.
Yeah. We do have a lot of games. I'm going to go with the Arizona Cardinals and the over.
I think we're going right with you. AZ and the O. That even that line is too big for me. Because if Gordon doesn't play, it's a different game, and I don't think 12.5 is really appropriate.
I agree. The Pittsburgh Steelers, Pittsburgh Steelers. Are they really 7-2-1?
Yeah.
Wow. I guess so. You haven't been quite as angry.
They started out
this year.
So bad this year.
Yeah, they did.
They tied the Browns. They lost the next week. They lost to the Ravens. It was bad. Yeah. Started bad.
Technically have not lost away. They have tied 4-0-1 against 4-6 Denver Broncos. Pittsburgh is a 3-point road favorite. The over under is 46.5. James Conner coming in with about 800 rushing yards and 10 touchdowns. We're all thankful for him. Juju Smith-Schuster, your big leader here. I mean, Juju with a 140-yard game is going to surpass 1,000 yards, and it's week 12. That is very, very impressive. He's been awesome this year, and Ben Roethlisberger already up over 3,200 yards, so there's a lot of offense on these guys' end, but you have got some weapons over in Denver. You've got Emmanuel Sanders. You got Philip Lindsay. I like Philip Lindsay a lot more than you do this week, but what do you think about this matchup?
I think this is I keep waffling. Yeah, I'm confident in Pittsburgh this week, so I'm taking Pittsburgh. But I know Case Keenum can put up points, and even though Pittsburgh is, you know, 4-0-1 on the road, they're a much better home team. So I keep waffling on the over-under. Well, I'm taking Pittsburgh. What are you doing on the over-under?
I'm definitely taking Pittsburgh as well. Oh, man, it's road Roethlisberger, though.
He looked bad in the first half, good in the second half last week.
Here's my problem. If Pittsburgh wins, it's got to be some points scored. Okay. Otherwise, they're getting routed by Denver.
Yeah. And maybe they get up big and Denver comes back. So
I'm going to go Pittsburgh in the over. I actually don't like it. I kind of want to go Denver in the under, but I'm going to do the opposite. I don't feel confident about this game at all. I don't like it.
I'm going Pittsburgh in the over as well. Right.
So the Miami Dolphins going the 5-5 Dolphins going to the 5-5 Colts. Indianapolis is favored by 7.5. The over is 51. Love me some Andrew Luck, who's got 29 touchdowns on the year. I'll just tell you right now, I am going Indianapolis in the under on this game because I don't think Miami is going to be able to do a whole bunch of nothing. I think the Colts are going to be able to run away with this game. And this, to me, this could easily be a 30-3 game, and I'm way on the under, and it's Colts in a huge rout. So give me the Colts and give me the under, or give me
Death. I mean, I wrote it in before both of us before you said it.
Yeah,
because
you agree, right?
Miami has looked terrible.
Horrible.
I know they got some wins early in the season. They're all showing to be improving to be lucky wins. So can't do it.
Losers. All right, then we'll just move along here to the last two games. We got the this is the game I'm very, very much looking forward to on Sunday night, which we'll probably be recording, but we'll be watching it while we do. The Green Bay Packers, they are going, the 4-5-1 Packers going to the 5-4-1 Minnesota Vikings. Minnesota is favored by 3.5. The over-under is 47.5. Even though Aaron Rodgers has had a weird year, he's already gone over 3,000 yards with 19 touchdowns. Adam Thielen over 1,000. And Aaron Jones, who missed, was it the first 4 weeks of the season?
First two weeks.
Already the leading rusher of any running back in this game because of the Dalvin Cook stuff. So, and it looks like we've got a clear go for at Dalvin Cook, which I know he's cheap everywhere. I really like him this week. What do you think about this Packer-Viking matchup?
I like the over fairly easy this me one. Too. That's it. I don't like that hook, that half a point there. Minnesota by 3. I think I have to take Minnesota because Green Bay still hasn't won a game on the road. And until they do, I think you have to pick against them. So I'm going to take Minnesota and the over in this one.
I am going to go with the Green Bay Packers and the over here because
how many times are you going to let the Packers screw you though?
All the times.
Okay.
But I can see
they
this.
Did it last week. You were last week. You just always pick Aaron Rodgers.
I love Aaron Rodgers. I guess
you love Aaron Rodgers more than Gabe from State Farm does. I'm telling you.
I love Aaron Rodgers, man. I mean, I think this could be a 30-27 game, and if Minnesota wins, I still cover.
You're jealous of Patrick.
I am a little bit. Not Starfish, but Patrick. And then in the final game here, it is the Tennessee Titans, who are 5-5, go into the 7-3 Houston Texans. Houston is favored by 6.5. The over-under is 41.5. Deshaun Watson, Lamar Miller, and DeAndre Hopkins are all your kind of statistical leaders across the board. DeAndre Hopkins
wrote in Houston in the under for us. That's right?
I'm going to take the over.
Really? Mariota questionable? You're going to go with the...
I think there could be some dumb Wayne late Gabbard, points. I think there could be some dumb late points. It's pretty low. I mean, this could 23-20 finish gets me the over here.
Yeah, that's I just think.
And it's prime time.
Yeah, you're right. Tennessee, Houston plays really well in prime time. Last time they were on Thursday night, they put up a ton of points. That was when Watson threw the 5 touchdowns. So he turns it on. So I'm talking myself into the over, but I'm still not going to take it because I don't know where the points come from for Tennessee. They looked pathetic last week with Mariota out. So I'll go Houston easy on this line and the under for me.
Yeah, I'll go Houston and the over on this one, though.
Okay.
All right. There you go. Those are the line picks. We'll see. I mean, last week, a disaster. This
gotta
week.
Got to be better this week, right? We got to do better.
The laws of averages say we've got to be better, Boggs. We have to,
The logic behind these games, I think, makes a lot of sense on both sides.
That's how gambling works, though, right? Just because we're more logical, it should work in our favor.
You took Oakland. I just want to remind you about that.
No, I mean, I don't know.
You took Oakland.
They have to be taken occasionally, right?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, against on the other direction?
And they would have won last week, and neither one of us did it. So
neither one of us did it.
Maybe you can prove me wrong. Maybe I'm a silly goose.
Maybe. All right. Well, if you guys want, check us out over at endthisleague.com and all the podcasts. Come join us Monday if you're looking to consume some football stuff. We will have the Fantasy Black Book with myself, Bogman, and Joe Pizzapia. We'll also have the In This League Fantasy Football podcast. They'll both drop, and they both kind of cover the whole gambit of different sides of Week 12. You know, we do a game-by-game breakdown in the Black Book, and we do have an overarching between waivers. We break down one specific game. We do our ball bag, all that type of stuff. We do all that over there. Baseball on the horizon, the prospect, college football, it's all happening. You just go check it out, and tons of NBA coverage over at InThisLeague.com and all of our podcasts. Hope you guys have a fantastic week. Rest up a little bit from Thanksgiving. You get back at it next week. Enjoy week 12. For Bogman, I am the Welsh. Talk to you soon.
See you.